Father, we just thank you and we praise you. We give you all honor and all glory. Father God, right now, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, let your Holy Spirit fall in a way he has never fallen before. We call upon your angelic host to be here and to minister to the people. Father God, we just give you full, total, and complete reign here this morning. This is your service, your church, and these are your people. And you know exactly what you want to say to them, Father. And Father, I thank you for it. I thank you, Father God, for the clarity. I thank you for the moving of the Spirit. And I thank you for wholeness. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. You know, though that last song, we all want to see miracles, but there's a miracle every day in your life. There's something, more than one miracle happens in your life every day, and you overlook the small things, and you're looking for something great. And God wants you to see the small miracle in your life and quit looking for great things, you know, great miracles. God's going to do that. But he wants you to appreciate what he's doing in your life each and every day. The fact that you can breathe is a miracle. The fact you got out of bed this morning is a miracle, right? And God is constantly talking to us and telling us what to do and what not to do. That's a miracle. The world doesn't have that, you know. They just go by the skin of their teeth, and they just hope everything turns out all right. But we as children of God, God speaks to us and tells us what to do and how to do it. I was sitting there thinking about, I was thinking about this last night, you know, but over a little over a year ago, God told me that Chris Tomlin was going to start losing his popularity, that I should start praying for him to have wisdom now, you know, then to do what needed to be done for now. And as I was looking through songs, if you notice, we've got a whole new set of voices out there, whole new set of faces. And you know, they're younger and they're doing songs that God needs to have done right now. And excuse me, even though Chris Tomlin's songs are beautiful and everything else, I still listen to him. It seems like you don't hear him as much as you do the other ones now. See, God knows all things, doesn't he? And I thought it was awesome. Well, when he told me to do that, I felt sad because, you know, I just really did like, I still like to hear him sing. But he's got himself together. God spoke to him and told him the same thing. So he's doing other things for God, and that is good. And I said all that to say this: if you'll just listen to God, he will tell you what to do so you're prepared for what's coming down the road. He's not going to let you stranded. He's going to tell you what is coming. Then it's up to us to act on that. All right? We sang that song, Mercy Me, I Won't. Remember the video we played that time where the man had lost his limbs and everything, and that's how that song was birthed. But because I played that because God said, you shall live and not die. And that was a theme for the bulletin. That's a theme for today. And I think God, the prophetic word he gave me for in the bulletin is something about you shall live, right? God wants us to be having a good time right now. He wants us to enjoy our walk with him. He doesn't want us to walk around with the sad, long, sad faces. He wants, when people look at us, God wants people to see Jesus through us. And I've told you a story before. When I first started church, I wouldn't let people talk in church. I wouldn't let them laugh. I said, you have to go in there, sit down, and be quiet. That's the way I was taught, right? And one day God said to me, my son laughs, you know. And he said, what you're doing is wrong. I want my people to enjoy my services. So I said, okay, you do whatever you want to do. Talk, laugh, whatever. And then I saw that picture of Jesus laughing, came out at that time. And that totally changed my mind about church, what goes on in church, and how we should respond in church. So, you know, guys, we need to be laughing more. We need to be enjoying life more. And you know, it's, you know, you never know what day you're going to breathe your last breath, but why should we even go there? Why can't we just be happy? And we might be live to be 200, but why don't we just be happy? Don't you agree? There's too much hate and ignorance in the world. We shouldn't, Christians should not be like that. Are you listening? So wherever you go, spread joy and spread good cheer. All right, let's see what, let's get into this. You shall live. God is constantly searching the earth for people who will trust him in every crisis, trial, and hopeless situation. God often leads us into situations that are alarming, critical, and difficult in order to test us. God often leads us into situations that are alarming, critical, and difficult in order to test us. He wants to see if we are willing to stand still and wait for him to bring supernatural deliverance. We have a hard time with stand still thing, right? The Bible states very clearly in Psalm 37:23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Period. The Hebrew word for ordered here means prearranged, step by step, fixed, ordained by God. This means it is God, not the devil, who leads us into difficult places. We may cry out, Lord, why are you allowing my crisis to continue? But the truth is, not only does he allow our trial, but he does so deliberately for a purpose. And that is hard for some to accept. We don't want to know that God will lead us into difficult times, but he does. The Bible is filled with examples of great and alarming crises deliberately set up by the Lord. Do you hear that? The Old Testament lists many times of testing for God's people. Perhaps the greatest example of these was a crisis at the Red Sea. This trial wasn't instigated by the devil or by Pharaoh. It was a crisis completely arranged by God, set up by his very own commands to Israel. After all, Scripture tells us it was God who hardened Pharaoh's heart, who caused the Egyptians to pursue Israel, and who allowed the Egyptian army to overtake them by the sea. God had told the people specifically to camp between Migdol and this other place. This location was situated between two mountain passes with the sea bordering a third side. The only possible route of escape was back into the wilderness, and that was blocked by Pharaoh's approaching army. Now the Israelites were horrified at their situation. Their God had led them there. Think about some of the situations you've been in, and you blame the devil. We need to understand that God could have prearranged to knock the wheels off the Egyptians' chariots at any time. He could have done it in the wilderness, stranding the Egyptians and starving them to death. But instead, he waited until they were between the walls of the separated sea. God also could have sent the supernatural cloud down upon the Egyptians' camp to confuse them. Those soldiers would have run around in the confusing mist for days. But instead, he chose to send the cloud behind the Israelites as protection. Or God could have sent a single angel to slay the entire Egyptian army in the blink of an eye. He could have chosen to destroy them at any point. But the Lord didn't do any of those things. Instead, he squeezed Israel into a tight, alarming situation, a crisis that was impossible to escape by human means. I want you to stop and think about some of the places you're at right now. Did you ever stop to think God has you there and he's keeping you there because there's something you need to learn yet that you haven't learned so far? I believe the Lord had two purposes in allowing this impossible situation for his people. Number one, he was determined to so annihilate Israel's enemies they would never again have to look over their shoulders in fear. See this? your enemy will be no more. God's been telling us that. God was saying, in essence, I'm going to strew your enemies' bodies along the shore so you can see every one of them dead. Then you will know I have all power. And the second point is, God wanted to provide an opportunity for his people to put their lives in his hands, to stand still and trust him to give them direction. How do we know God arranged this frightful situation to test his people? His own words say so. Let's stop here. Too many people always blame the devil for the situations they're in, never looking at the true picture that there's something in your life that God is trying to get corrected. He is causing the circumstances to happen so you can become the man or woman of God that he's called you to become. Because you're just sailing along, having a really good time, and all of a sudden, boom, you know, here comes a speed bump. It just knocks you totally off course. And then you cry out, God, make this thing stop. And God's not going to make it stop until he gets your full attention and he changes in your life what needs to be changed. All right. Money is a big thing right now. What if you're having a money crisis and your money's being stolen from you constantly? There's something in your life that God's trying to change in you. And so he's using your money to get your attention. How's your love walk? You know, how do you interact with other people? And what do you do with the money God gives you to begin with? There's a whole lot of things going on here, and God's trying to get your attention so you can be the man or woman of God that he wants you to be. It always boils down to that. All right, so I said, how do we know God arranged this frightful situation to test his people? His own words say so in Deuteronomy 8:2. God said, thou shalt remember, see that? God said, thou shalt remember all the ways which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. See, these are all the things. And God said that you shall always remember it. This verse spells it out clearly, all the ways which the Lord led them. It was God who led them to the Red Sea, not the devil. But why did God do this? The same chapter tells us in verse 16, that he might humble thee and that he might prove thee to do thee good at thy latter end. How many of you still need to be humbled? You know, how many of you, and God says that he might humble you and that he might prove thee. What kind of person are you? Are you really being everything that God's called you to be? There was something going on in my life just recently, and I said, God, I don't understand this. And he says, we're working on your love walk still. So, you know, when I learned to love the unlovable, then that thing's going to be taken, it has been taken out of my life totally and completely. But see, God's always working something in you when things seem to be at the opposite way that you want to go. Always. In essence, God was saying, I was after something in you. I brought you into these situations so you could practice your faith. Only these kinds of circumstances could produce true faith in you. Only your absolute trust in me could ever get you out. And verse 3 says, he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger. In other words, God said, I gave you hard places, hungering places, thirsting places, places that were alarming and terrifying to see if you had a trusting heart. Now, how many of you have a hard time trusting God? If you have a hard time trusting God, he's going to put you through these things. So you learn to remember, I told you one time, God said, well, you don't trust me. I said, yes, I do. He said, no, you don't trust man. So therefore, you don't trust me. And you have to trust man and you'll trust me. There's so many things in our lives that we aren't doing right that we think we are. And God places us into circumstances that will change us. So let's quit fighting God. And let's let God change us to be the children of God that we need to be to minister to the lost souls that God's going to bring into the houses. God requires something of us. We are to stand still and wait upon him to act. This word is not a suggestion, but a commandment. And it is a secret to our total victory and deliverance. How many times has the Lord commanded you to stand still? Remember, he was always telling me, stand still. I was having a hard time standing still and waiting for God to move. Even though I wasn't trying to do it myself, when my mind was going crazy, my mind was trying to do it itself. You go through that, and God didn't say, let your mind control you. He said, stand still. Trust me, and I'm going to take care of the situation. I allowed it. I can take care of it, right? For example, in Joshua chapter 3, we read of another crossing Israel had to make at the Jordan River. God instructed the people in Joshua 3:8, when you are come to the brink of the water of Jordan, you shall stand still in the Jordan. Then the Lord added in verse 13, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests shall rest in the waters of Jordan, the waters of Jordan shall be cut off, and they shall stand upon an heap. Once again, here God is separating the sea so that people can walk over. He told them what to do. And God was saying, when you get to the water, plant your feet in it and just stand there. Be still and rest. Don't try to figure out what I'm up to. How many of us fail there? Don't try to figure out what I'm up to. Just wait for me to act. I will part the waters for you. You know, there's a situation in my life. God said, I'm working it out. And I was praying about it last night. He said, I'm not telling you again. Let's move on. In other words, he's working it out. You know, and I just need to trust God and wait on God, and he'll do it in his timing. And I know we've all been there, right? All right, so the Hebrew word for stand still in this passage means stop all activity, cease all striving. God did act on that occasion. He did part the waters, and he did it because Israel's act of obedience was accompanied by faith. They did what God had told them, and they rested in it. God answered their faith. So what kind of faith do you have? Is God answering your faith? Think about this. You know, if you're honest with yourself, I'm honest with myself. I say, God, I must not have much faith today because I'm wanting you to move now. And I'm not trusting you. You know, and, you know, I sit down and I talk to God about what I'm not doing right, even though he knows it. And then him and I talk and we work it out. Then I get on the right, same page as he's on, and then we move on. How many of you are like me? Sometimes you aren't on the same page with God. You're on your own page. We have to get back there and do what God's telling us to do. God spoke to me and said, I want you to live. You know, so he said, I want the body of Christ to live. He was not talking about sickness. He was telling me I was to be among the land of the living. The psalmist said in Psalm 116, verse 9, that I may walk before the Lord in the land of the living. In Psalm 27:13 says, I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. In other words, God wants us to live right now, not when we go to heaven, but right now. Well, I got a mansion in heaven and I'm going to go there one day. Well, God wants you to have a mansion here on earth too. He doesn't want you to wait till you die and get all this stuff. He wants you to have it right here on earth. He wants you to be happy on the earth. He wants you to live life to its fullness. All right, and a lot of people don't live life to its fullness. And Jesus tells us, number one, he came to give his life as a ransom for sinners. Number two, he came to call those sinners to repentance. And number three, Jesus came to give eternal life to anyone who would believe in him. Jesus came so that we can have life because he is the embodiment of life. And he said in John 14:6, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Let's just stop there. Okay, you see people on drugs. They think they're living, and they're not. They're not living life. They're dead. And most of them don't know Jesus, or they're backslid. And so until they know Jesus or come back to God, there's no life for them. But we don't have those problems, I don't believe. We're supposed to be children of God. We've received Christ as our Lord and Savior, so we should be living life to its fullness. And I can about guarantee you that most of us have not been living life to its fullness. We've not been enjoying life the way God wants us to enjoy it. And we've not been laughing and, you know, and just instead of paying attention to all of our circumstances, like God says, don't look at your circumstances. Look, keep your eyes upon me. If we got our eyes off our circumstances and kept our eyes upon God, we would be happy. We really would. People wouldn't be able to stand us. We'd be so deliriously happy. But what do? We look at our circumstances, don't we? And that robs us of all of our joy. And John 10:10 said, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Psalm 118, verse 4. How many of you right now, you know you have not lived life to its fullness? You've allowed the circumstances in life to envelop you. You know, you allowed other people to dictate how you were going to be, happy, sad, or whatever. And God never meant that to be. You are an individual, and you should be walking with God, and you should be happy. And don't let other people's junk destroy your happiness. How many of you sometimes just have to walk away and be by yourself? Because the atmosphere around about you is killing you. So you just say, you keep your junk, I'm going to go get my stuff from God. And I'm not going to be part of your mess. If you want to be happy, then you go. No, here's what we should do. Look, you don't want to be happy, you go to another room. We're happy here. We want to be happy here. So you take your stuff to another room. Why should we have to leave? Right? Thank you, God, for that little tidbit. Come on. I know about you, but I'm tired of other people stealing my joy. Aren't you? That's not godly. It's not godly at all. Psalm 118, verse 14 through 17 says, the Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tents of the righteous. See that? The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does violently. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord does violently. I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. Now, you can't be declaring Jesus Christ if you're walking around hateful and ignorant all the time. Because Jesus wasn't like that. So you're not living and you're not declaring the works of the Lord. You're dead and you're declaring the works of the devil if you're always angry, resentful, looking for troubles, you know. Exodus 14:13-14, and Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you and you shall hold your peace. How many times has God told you that even though the circumstances were going to be bad in the world, you know, he's been telling us that we don't have to worry about anything, that he's going to fight our battles for us. He's going to supply our needs. Amen. I don't know about you, but this year I'm just really enjoying my yard, the flowers and the trees that Johnny plants for me, you know, and the weeds that other people have to pull as I watch them pull them. But I've really been enjoying, for some reason or other, God's told me to get out there and enjoy nature, enjoy life. You guys stuck in these four walls up here, you need to go somewhere where there's some flowers and smell the flowers. 2 Chronicles 20:17, you will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. We don't have to worry about any of our enemies, according to 2 Chronicles. because God is taking care of them already. He's been promising us we are not, the enemy is going to leave us and we're not going to see the enemy anymore. Now, do we trust and believe God? Do we have enough faith to believe that God means what he says? And he always means what he says, but we don't know that he means what he says. Why do I say it? Because we act like we don't know that he means what he says. All right. Psalm 27:13 says, I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Some of us were, you know, there's situations in our lives we think, oh, God, you got to move now, you know. But this says, wait on the Lord. Isn't that what it says? And he shall strengthen your heart. He'll give us what we need, the strength we need to endure whatever we have to go through by waiting on God to finish working on the other person. Of course, it's not your fault, so he's working on the other person, all right? He's really working on us. And see, when he works in us, we allow him to work in us, we don't see what the other person's doing, right? All right. Then I said, as you allowed God to lead you through the Red Sea, then across the Jordan, then into the Promised Land. See what I said there? As you allowed God to lead you through the Red Sea, then across the Jordan, because he told us we were through the Red Sea, then we crossed to Jordan, and then he said we were going into the Promised Land. He is saying, this is what God's saying. He's saying, now I want you to live. Truly live and enjoy life at every turn. Quit allowing the enemy to steal your joy. Go forth with praise on your lips, a dance in your feet, and love in your heart. Dance, rejoice, love like there is no tomorrow. Turn yourselves totally over to living and not dying. Let's read that again, because this is what I want to see us all do. I don't want to see us walking to church. I want to see kicking our heels. I'll watch you all do that, all right? God said, now I want you to live, truly live, and enjoy life at every turn. Quit allowing the enemy to steal your joy. Go forth with praise on your lips, a dance in your feet, and love in your heart. Dance, rejoice, love like there is no tomorrow. Turn yourselves totally over to living and not dying. You know, when we're all concerned about what somebody else is doing, we're not living because we're caught up in their dying. Right? So let's quit that. Let's just reverse that today. We're, you know, okay, so somebody else in your house is having a problem. Pray for them, but don't make it your problem. You know, because really and truly, if you have drug people in your home, they can't help themselves. You guys have been free of drugs. You know that. And they need your prayers. They need your love. But don't let it engulf you. Because if it engulfs you, then you can't help them. I've been guilty of that. We've all been guilty of that, haven't we? Letting other people's problems engulf us. If you haven't, thank God. And then it steals your joy and your peace. And see, and God's tell me, and our long suffering. So God said, as you allow this transformation to take place, you will draw all men unto me. They will want your laugh. They will want your joy. They will see that there is a reason for living. See that? They will come out of the graves of depravity, and they will want to sing and dance before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. They will want to go the extra mile of love. My son Jesus knew how to enjoy himself. He knew how to attend a marriage party and enjoy himself and not act self-righteous. He knew that to win the lost, they must see joy. They had to see him laugh as well as telling them the truth of salvation. You know, it tickled me when I first started. You know, Jesus went in, he drank with the drunkards, right? Now, I don't know what he drank, but he went in among them and sat with them because they complained about it. And then so people said, well, God told me to go to a bar. They're an alcoholic. God told me to go to a bar and minister to people. No, God did not. You want to go and drink in the bar, and you want to carouse, and that's why you're there. So let's not twist stuff either, you know. And God said, children, take up the tambourine, dance as Miriam danced. So let's see what Miriam did in Exodus 15, 20 and 21. Then Miriam, the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her with timbrels and dancing. Now, see, when it says that they went out with timbrels and dancing, they weren't sitting in their seats. They were walking around. And I hear you people, you sit in your seats and do your little tambourine thing and little clap in your hand thing, but I never see you marching. Get them to march. Yeah, sure you can. You can do that. You and Barbara and Debbie, get them to march. So you get it, you start, and you say, you know. God said, rejoice in the midst of your enemies. We're having a hard time with that, aren't we? Oh, look what they're doing again. I can't deal with this any longer. See, we're not rejoicing in the midst of our enemies. And I have that problem probably more than y'all do. And I know better. Then I have to go and repent over and over again. So God said, rejoice in the midst of your enemies. Your rejoicing will put the enemy into derision. The enemy is so used to seeing the church somber, no joy, no dancing, just sitting stiffly saying amen. They come in with a long face and leave the same way, no joy. Isn't that the way it goes? Sure it is. Not any longer. They're going to come into my houses of worship with a song in their spirit that the enemy cannot steal or snuff out. They're going to see great rejoicing all over the building. They will come into my houses and they will leave rejoicing. You know, God told us to have fast music. You know, we tried the slow music and it didn't work. And so then God said, go back to the joyful music. So we're back to the joyful music, and we're back to the miracle music. It's because that's where God is at, and we need to be rejoicing in our songs that we're singing. So sitting there, oh no, we got to do this again. Why can't we go back to that again? Be content where I have you, because God is telling me what music to play. Believe me, He is. And I've never had such a struggle playing the music because everybody's coming against. Somebody wants this and somebody wants that and somebody else wants something else. Just relax. Just cool. Chill out. And just let the songs minister to you. If you can't sing them, let them minister to you. You know, like the Brandon Lake there, you know, he kept saying, you can't tell me God can't do it because I've seen it. Now, I can't help if you haven't seen it. But I think if you just relax and sing and let it minister to you, you'll see it. You might hear somebody screaming here, I'm healed, I'm healed, I'm healed, and they'll be running around the church because you're doing what God is telling you to do. Where am I at here? I am calling you. Is that where I'm at? I am calling you to live among the living, God said. In Psalm 150, verse 1 said, praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty heavens. Praise Him for His acts of power. Praise Him for His surpassing greatness. Praise Him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise Him with the harp and the lyre. Praise Him with timbrels and dancing. Praise Him with the strings and pipe. Praise Him with the clash of cymbals. Praise Him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, so many churches cannot stand a guitar. They can't stand drums. They don't want any loud music. But right here, this verse tells you everything is supposed, you're supposed to use everything to praise the Lord. He wants you to use your feet to stomp. He wants you to use your hands to clap. He wants you to use the voice to shout. He wants us to be alive in the house. And then once again, he said, I'm calling you to live among the living. I want this church to start to come to life today. I want you to start enjoying life to its fullness. There's a purpose for this. What it is, I'm not sure yet, but God has a purpose for calling us into enjoying life right now. Let's not try to figure out why. Let's just enjoy life right now. I don't know really what God is doing because He hasn't said. I know there's a lot of turmoil out there in the world, But he doesn't want us to get mixed up in that. He wants us to know who he is and just to relax and enjoy life. I don't think a lot of us know how to do that. That's why when somebody says, can we go on vacation? I said, yes, go. Forget everything and just go and enjoy yourself. I've been one, I really haven't ever done that, really went somewhere and enjoyed myself. But I found out that I wasted so much of my life, too. I should have enjoyed my life, and I didn't. I was too busy trying to take care of other people and make sure they were all right. But guys, God wants you to relax. He's saying relax, enjoy, smile till your face breaks, and shout till you can't have another shout in you. But whatever you do, enjoy life among the living. So how many of you think you might be able to work on that? Life has been too hard, hasn't it? I mean, I've never lived such a hard life in all my life as I have for the last 10 years. So God said, relax. And I see a big crack. You know, he just wants us to relax. And he just wants us to enjoy. You walk to somebody and say, you want to go to church today? Hey, you want to go in the house of the Lord today? We're going to dance. We're going to have a good time. I know why I couldn't get up here and say anything, because you guys weren't ready for it. Now I think you're ready for it. Really and truly, to tell you the honest truth, what I wanted to do was do the preaching and do the singing. But because we're tied to that thing, and because we don't have our own music, I couldn't do that. And I was upset over that as I said, God, that's the way I want to do it. Because then they could receive what I was saying, receive the music afterwards. So, Brittany, are you going to start smiling? That's it. She has teeth. She's been sitting there. See, we have to quit doing that in the house of God. Boy, sometimes I look out there and I think y'all just ate the most biggest dill pickle you ever wanted to buy before you come into the house of God. If we don't say amen, we just sit there. Really now. You know? Come on. You know, there should be joy and laughter in the house of God. Right? Yeah, I wrote Brother Allen an email the other day, and I said, what was going on with you at church? I said, you were sitting there, the glory of God all over. You looked like you was ready to bust out of your chair. That's what he looked like. If I didn't say it in those words, that's what I was saying. He said, I was just being me. Because you know what? He's free. He's free. And so he's sitting there free. The rest of you are sitting there. Not everybody, but a lot of you. See, I would love for all of you to be laughing like whoever that is, you know. And, you know, sitting there with smiles on your face. Astrid, that's who it is. I forgot her name. You know, smiles on your face. Really enjoying being in the house of the Lord. You look like some of the drug addicts that visit my house. That's true. You do. He couldn't believe I said that, but that's the truth. I'm supposed to minister to down and outers, so that's what I've ministered to. Come on. The joy of the Lord is what? Your strength. That's why you can't fight against the devil. You have no strength because you have no joy. Shirley, you need to tell the devil, you leave for a while. I need to dance through my house. Go to the bar. Go do something. Go to the park or go do something. Because I want to be free in my own home. Right? Come on. Kick the devil out and have a good time. And whenever the devil comes back, still have a good time. Because you got it all out of your system. Danced all through your house. All right. She's fine. Barbara keeps looking at you like, come on. The truth will set you free. And the truth is, we're too sour-faced. I got over telling you you couldn't smile, so I told you that I did got over that years ago. All right. Well, the altar's open for joy. Joy unspeakable. It's a joy that you're going to have with no matter what's going on in your life, you are still going to have joy. So if you have a wife that's messed up, just tell her to just go take a shower while you have joy. All right. I'm giving you good advice here.